resisting and he's not fleeing, you're not submitted. Right?
Yeah.
Because there's not anything else that can happen. If you are submitted to God, you resist him and he must go. Right?
Right.
Now, we're going to read here in James chapter 1. I need to get over here. Y'all take it right here. James chapter 1, and I don't want to read the whole thing. We read the whole thing last time. We're not going to read the whole thing this time. We're going to start in verse 12. It says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. I have heard this in church. People stand up and say, the Lord is tempting me. That's absolutely impossible and goes contrary to Scripture. God never tempts anybody to do evil. Never. The devil is the tempter to do evil, right?
That's right.
He says here, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. It says, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. He says, do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And then it goes on and says, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruit of his creatures. Now notice that verse up there, 14. But every man is tempted when what? He's drawn away and enticed of his own lust. The word lust, all that simply means is, it don't mean adultery, it means a strong desire.
Right.
It can be a brownie. Right, Johnny?
Right.
Yep. It can be a brownie. Why would I say that? If God, if I know in my heart, the Holy Spirit is leading me to go on a fast and say I go on one. This has absolutely happened to me before. And I go on one. And before the day is through, Jackie, I ate a hot dog. I don't even like hot dogs.
Right.
What was it? I was tempted of something that was on the inside of me that was not the will of God. Why? The will of God was for me to fast that day.
Right.
But my will was to eat, evidently. If it wasn't, I would not have done it.
Right.
Now, we talked about last week how these things are tailor-made for us. We talked about how that Scotty, he's a fisherman. He don't do it as much as he used to. But if there's a pond or something that he can get around, he takes his little tackle box and he throws every lure in his tackle box out there at some time or another. He's got those, you throw them out, and you reel them just like this. I think those are, what are they called, spinner baits or whatever, topwater lures or something. Then he's got these other ones, you put them on there, you know, he's got something that looks like a frog, and you jerk it like this. That's all you do. You just jerk it till you get it. That's way too much work for me. Put my worm on there, I'm going to throw it out there and sit there and drink my tea.
Yes.
You know, that's all I want to do. But that's exactly how the devil does to us. He watches us. If something's worked on you in the past, the Bible says he left Jesus for a more opportune time, for a more opportune season. You may have looked at that time, but guess what? He's coming back at another, a later date. Why? Because that's his job. That's what he does. And he's like the credit card companies we talked about last week. They will spend thousands to make millions. I can't tell you how many credit card letters I get in the mail in a week. I mean, them people are relentless. They just keep on and on and on and on. I don't want no more credit cards. I don't have nothing on my credit. I got some credit cards, but I don't know nothing on them. And I'm not interested in taking any more out. But they're counting on one day I'm in a pinch.
Right.
Yeah.
The devil's counting on one day I got a bad day.
Yep.
One day I'm not full of the Holy Ghost. Y'all ain't saying that.
Right.
One day I didn't pray. Listen, it don't just start either with one day of not praying most of the time. It takes a little while most of the time. If your clutch is slipping, fix it. Why? Because the devil's going to get you. He's not playing. And we talked about, I don't know how many weeks, about his subtleness, his craftiness. Ephesians 6 talks about how that we are to stand against or resist the wiles, that's the traps, the temptations, the lies, the deceptions, the tricks of the devil, because that is his game. He never comes in the front door. He's always climbing in the window or beating on the back door. He never shows up at the front, right? But he says there that every man is drawn away of his own lust. It's something in you. And the devil will dangle it out there like a carrot to a rabbit. But see, what my thing is, the Bible says everything in me that's not of his will, I'm to kill it. Mortify. Put to death the deeds of the flesh. Right? How do I do that? Get close to God. To the point to where my his desires are my desires. His will becomes my will. So I don't want anything else, Johnny, except what he wants. And if I feel like I want something else, I deaden that. To the point, y'all remember Jesus in the garden, he prayed? He said, Father, not my will, but your will. But if there's any possible way, let this cup pass. But what did he do? He submitted himself to God's will and went on to the cross. Now, let's go over to, excuse me. Let's see. Glasses on here. Now, we read this one. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians 10. We're going to read this one here again because this one here, I'm telling you, this one is probably more misquoted that I have heard myself personally than the majority. 1 Corinthians 10. Verse 11. Now the verses up above this, because we're not going to take the time to read this whole thing here. The verses up above this, talking about the children of Israel and others, that all these things had happened to them and everything. And then verse 11, it says it was written for our examples. Verse 11 says, now all these things happened unto them for examples. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Mm. If you think you don't need no church, you already fallen. If you think you don't need no pastor, you've already fallen. Y'all ain't saying nothing.
Amen.
If you think you don't need to read your Bible, hello. You think you don't need to read your Bible? Well, I meditate day and night. Well, honey, you meditate the same potato salad day and night, and you're not going to get any more nutrients out of it that's in the broccoli and the carrots.
Right.
Amen. I mean, who wants to just meditate? Who wants to eat just the same thing every day, every day, every day? Well, you can't eat any more than what you know. I'm talking about meditate. Y'all ain't said nothing. That's okay. It's true anyway. We just talked about, I don't know how long we talked about it, Ephesians 6, the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but it talks about putting on the whole armor of God, and we went over that, and the first thing he says is truth. What's truth? Jesus is the truth, and the word is the truth. How can I combat the wiles, the lies of the devil, if I don't got the weapon of truth to come back against him with?
Right.
Well, then that means I got to read it.
Right.
I got to know it. I got to meditate on it. Y'all get me off. I got somewhere to go now. Verse 12, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. If you're thinking you're already up there in the ride, you're already falling. You don't even know it yet. The apostle Paul, the chief apostle, what'd he say? Y'all don't remember over there in Philippians? He said, I press toward that mark. Not that I'm already apprehended, right? He's the chief apostle, wrote one third of the New Testament. And if he's thinking he ain't already apprehended it, I know I ain't even coming close yet.
Right.
So I need not stop. He says, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Now, this is how I've heard a lot of people misquote it. God will not put any more on you than you can bear. Did that sound even remotely like that verse? We just got through reading. God said he tempts no man. You hear me? He tempts no man. Isn't that what he said? He tempts no man. Then how is it God will not put any more on me than I'm able to bear? That's saying God's the one putting this crap on me. Well, if God's putting this crap on me, why would I ever dare want to resist it? Don't let me resist God.
Right.
According to Scripture, he's not the one that's putting it on me. The devil is. It says God's faithful. He'll make a way for me to escape it. Come out of it. Overcome it. Deal with it. Handle it. Right? It says he's faithful too. So don't believe that lie of the devil. devil, that God is the one putting stuff on you. He's not, we talked about it last week, how Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If it's hard and heavy, it's not God.
Amen.
But now the hard and the heavy can come in where my will is crossing his will.
Right.
That gets real hard for me, April. Why? Because I love me.
And
I want whatever I want. And it hurts me at certain times to when God says, shut your mouth, Teresa, and don't argue with your husband. Y'all ain't saying nothing.
Right.
I'm a woman. Y'all go ahead. I know how y'all do, some of you. I may be the chief one in here. Scotty says amen, but he just ain't going to say it. He's smiling. As far as it better go. But yeah, that hurts me, Sandy, when he won't shut them flapping jaws. That's how he does. I mean, he's like a rooster. And I'm just like, if you don't hush, would you please just hush? Just please just hush. Because I'm about to lose it. And on the inside, I can hear God say, don't say nothing. God, he's not right. Don't say nothing. That hurts me. But see, that's where it comes in. Submit to God, and then I can resist the devil. I can't fuss and fight with Scotty all night long and get up and resist the devil, the fever off of my baby.
Help me, Lord.
Let's go on here. Let's look at Luke 22. I don't know how far we get on this today. I've been hoping to be through with this for a while, which God's changed the title. We're going a little bit different direction than what we have been. Sometimes I would like to just move on, and I can't. Y'all know I don't get to say what I want to up here? I don't get to pick what I want to do up here. It's kind of like somebody was up here, and Travis, he picks it, you know, he's our praise and worship leader, you know, and he picks the songs out, what we're going to sing or whatever, and somebody was up here, and they said, we just sung that one last week and the week before, and I looked at him, I said, it don't matter. Y'all ain't saying nothing. It don't matter. If Holy Ghost says you sing this song for a solid month every service, what we do?
That's right.
We sing that song. I don't care if you're sick of it. We sing that song. Why? Travis ain't the leader.
Right.
He might be the one God uses. I mean, that's like saying, I have to sit up here and listen to him. He's my son. And I let him know, okay, from five, you got me from 5 to 6 o'clock, 6:01, I'll meet you on the porch. But from 5 to 6, when I'm up here, he's the boss. Do I like it? No. Do I like everything he says? No. Do I like every song he picks out? No. Does it matter? No. But somehow or another, I think in the church, we've lost a lot of this. It's everybody hears from God their self. Ooh, that went over real good, did it, Johnny? Do you feel that? Everybody hears from God their self. Yes, we do. The Bible says that we will have that no man teach us. He'll write his laws on the tables of our hearts, right? That no man will have to say no to the Lord. You'll know him for yourself. But then don't do away with the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 4, the pastor, the prophet, the teacher, the evangelist, right? All of those. What are they still there for? To be on TV for what? Oh, my goodness. Okay. Let's just move on. Look straight ahead. Nobody know it's you. But here in Luke 22, I guess I better get out of chapter 11. I can hear from God myself, but there's some things God only brings me through my husband. There's some things God only brings me through my pastor. There's some things God only brings me through my Sunday school teacher. There's some things God only brings me through somebody's testimony when I'm at church.
Yeah.
And when I don't have all that, I'm malnourished and I'm lacking. And I can't figure out why.
Right.
I know this for all them on Facebook. 22, verse 11. This is Rand, so we know it's Jesus himself talking. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon. Now, when Jesus called your name twice, you know you better pay attention. He says, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Now, we said last week, I don't know Granny used to have a sifter. I didn't ever see Mama have one. I don't know if she had one or not. I don't remember ever seeing it. But Granny had a sifter. She made homemade biscuits. So she put that flour in that sifter, and she would turn the handle, that crank knife thing. Well, all of the flour that was good would fall to the bottom, and any flour that maybe was from a leftover biscuit or something got in there that wasn't supposed to would stay on the top. So what does a sifter do? It separates. What's he saying here? He says, Satan has desired that he may sift you as wheat. Separate you from what? Very next verse tells us. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brother. So we see here just the very verse itself tells us, Satan has asked for Peter. He wants to separate Peter from his faith in Jesus. He ain't changed. He got the same game. He wants to separate me from my faith in God. He wants to separate me from the promises of God. Of me believing all things are possible to the Christians.
No.
Really? You sure? All things are possible to those who go to church. No. Devil goes to church. Y'all ain't noticed. All things are possible to those who believe. What is believing? It is faith. When you look up the word faith, it's strong confidence, it's believing, it's all those things. But he's wanting to separate Peter or the other disciples, I think it's the Amplified Bible says, all of them, to separate them from their faith. Now, let's go on here to, we're not going to take the time to read the whole thing, but let's go up here to 33. Notice that though in 32, he says, but Peter, I prayed for you that your faith would not fail. But notice this. And when thou art converted, this is faith. He ain't even failed yet. But Jesus tells him, when thou art converted, when you fall and you come back, you get things straightened out and you come back, you go and you strengthen your brother.
Amen.
33. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. Oh, my goodness. Oh, we're here for you, Sister Teresa, Brother Scotty, whatever you want us to do, that's what we want to do. Take out the garbage. Well, I can't. Thank you, Shannon, for shaking your head. All the rest of us just... So we won't know who it is. Well, it's time to unload the box truck. Well, I can't. I got beans on the table. I can't. I promise so-and-so I go, you ain't got 15, 20 minutes for the Lord? Are you serious?
Amen.
And for people? No. I thought you was going to die with him.
Right.
I thought you was going to jail. I came today. I meant yesterday or the day after tomorrow is what I meant when I said that. See, we read the scripture. When you think you're standing, beware lest you fall. In other words, stay on your game. Don't take no spiritual vacation. See, that's a lie of the devil. He'll tell people, I just need a vacation from church. I just need a vacation from reading the Bible. Jesus never took a vacation from none of it. And when the apostles did, they failed. The disciples, they weren't the apostles yet. They were still in their training. But that's what he told him. No, Lord, he just got through telling him. The devil wants you. But I prayed for you, and when you converted, strengthen your brother. And then he turns around and says, Jesus, that just ain't going to happen because I'll go to jail. I'll die. Whatever you need me to do, I'm your man. You know how many times I've heard that in 20 years of this church? Let's move on. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee. Both into prison and to death. And you ain't even at church today. I thought we was moving on. Okay. Let's go. And he said, verse 34, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. See, what we don't realize sometimes is when we're in church, God, I can't quit saying that. When we're in church God tailor makes every service for every person here. It may be one single word that you get that stuck out to you. It may be one person's testimony that you heard. The preacher didn't even mean nothing to you. But there's something in that service that is going to bring edification, building up, correction, conviction, not condemnation. God doesn't condemn. He convicts. In that service. Every one of them. So when I come to church, when we gather together, and we come in our services that God has set up and God told us to come here and be together and all of that, I have to be careful I don't start taking that for granted. Yeah. Ah, that service didn't mean nothing to me. Well, you wasn't halfway paying attention back there. You braiding hair and everything else.
Yeah.
Laying down there snoring.
Man.
Scotty's mama one. Bless her heart, the woman. She was 83. Anytime the woman ever sat down, she's asleep. You know, I mean, I guess you get that age, you just might, you know, you're tired, I don't know. But she said Scotty had a recliner brought because she had his back surgery and they clipped something they weren't supposed to. And so she stayed with a lot of pain in her back and stuff. And she won't know, could she bring her recliner in here? And so Scotty led her. And she's right over there. And one day he's up here just preaching away and you hear. And he looks around and he said, Mama! 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 I come back there! Woo! You talk about chewing him out. When we left church, he got it. Sandy, the next service, she wanted to bring her sunglasses with her. Oh, I have seen people that are back there on the sound booth or whatever, and they're snoring. And then somebody dismisses the service like Johnny does here, and they say amen, they cough up my popcorn. That saith the Lord, this and this and this. And we're like, when did he say that? You've been asleep. I mean, I'm serious. But see, that's part of the wiles of the devil. You'll be in a service and you'll be needing something from God so bad. And the minister is just fixing to say it, and begins to say it, and all of a sudden something gets your attention. You'll turn around. I'm telling you. Why? He's so tricky.
Yep.
And he'll keep your attention until they pass on from that and start on something else, and then you'll turn back around and you miss the whole thing.
Yeah.
So what's that mean? When I come to service, I need to pay paying attention.
Yeah.
It's not just because I want y'all to listen to me. I don't care. I can talk to myself at home, but God won't let me. I don't know what we on that for. That's a benefit for y'all. That ain't even in my notes. But notice what he tells him. I tell thee, Peter, this crop shall not grow this day before that thou hast thrice or three times denied that you even know me. What did Jesus say? He said, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before the Father. If we ain't close, this will happen. See, the Apostle Paul, when it got time for him to go on and be with the Lord, what did he say? He said, I have kept the faith. That is the main thing. You can't live the Christian life without it. Why? It's not a natural life. It's a supernatural, spiritual life. You cannot live it without faith. Faith is the most precious thing that we have. The Bible talks about our faith being tried as fire so that it'll come forth as pure gold. It's the most precious thing that we have, and the enemy 24/7,
yep,
or has influences trying to take it from us. And he can't take it from us, but what does he do? Trick us into giving it up, just like he did Adam and Eve.
Yeah,
now notice that. Let's read on here. Let's see. Because I got some of this I want to skip. Let me check my notes here. All right. 34, he said, and he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice or three times deny that thou knowest me. Then skipped him just as for time's sake to verse 39. And he came out and went, talking about Jesus, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, his disciples that came with him, pray that you enter not into temptation. So evidently, temptation and prayer has something to do with each other. Because he says, pray that you enter not into temptation. So if I'm being tempted, I need to pray. And I'm not talking about wallowing around, oh God, take it away, help me. You know, I've heard people say, oh God, take your steel, take your cigarettes, take this out. He don't want it. He don't use it. Now, I know what we're meaning when we say that.
Right.
But how many knows? He's not going to do what he told us to do. Right? He said, you resist the devil. All that stuff's of the devil. It's not of God. There's nothing else we can say about it. And don't get under condemnation if you do it. I smoked for years. You know, I tried dipping in pocket. That stuff's disgusting. But anyway, you know, whatever your thing is or whatever. But he don't want it. Now, he will help us to overcome. The Holy Spirit is the strengthener, the standby, the comforter, the helper, right? He'll help us in whatever it is that we need, whatever the temptation is, to shut my mouth when the Holy Ghost is telling me to, right? Keep my mouth shut. He'll help me do that. I had some of that yesterday. I had to go to the doctor about the sinus thing or whatever. Well, I actually had some the week before that. Had some other medicine. The doctor had called it in. It took them a week to get my prescription filled. They didn't have the brand that the doctor had said, so they asked me, would the generic be okay? And my insurance wasn't going to pay for anything on it. The price, $75, was that going to be okay? I said, yeah, yeah, whatever it is, just get it. You know? Well, lo and behold, they don't get it. I call them, nobody's answering. Y'all ain't even saying nothing. I call them, they ain't even answering. I call them again the next day, they answer. I said, this so-and-so about my prescription. Oh, no, we had that on hold because we didn't know if you wanted the generic and your insurance was not going to work. I said, I told you days ago. I already told them. I said, yeah, I want it. Do it. Get it. Took them a week to get my prescription. I'm hot. But I was nice. I'm hot, but I'm nice. Well, I'm happy to go to the doctor yesterday. That urgent care thing. And I'm up at 11:30 at night making this appointment for the urgent care so I don't got to go sit there all day long. Wait. Well, my appointment was at 12 o'clock. Scotty runs me up there and gets me at 25 till 12 to sit in the parking lot for at least 25 minutes. Y'all ain't saying nothing. I know. It's because it's all over y'all. So I got to sit there in the truck 25 minutes before my appointment time. Then I'm sitting there 35 minutes after my appointment time. Scotty's in the back seat snoring with the air conditioner on.
Amen.
And I'm just sitting there waiting. So lo and behold, you know, we get in there, go in there, okay. And well, let me tell you this. I'm sitting there and I'm getting hot. I don't mean heat hot. I'm cold because the air conditioner's blowing right on me. He's snoring in the back seat. And these, I see these people going in, these people going out. I want to go. You always saying that. I know.
Right.
Y'all, y'all just never want to go. Just come right here. I'll fit you. You go before me. I know. Anyway, I'm talking about me, okay? And I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, oh, help me do this. Just help me, Lord. I feel awful. I mean, my throat is so swelled. It's hurting in both of my ears and all kinds of junk. And I'm sitting there, and here comes the Holy Ghost. Real soft, right in here. And he causes me to start thinking about the other people.
Amen.
Don't that sound like the scripture? So I started praying for all the other people. And I started praying, God, help them. Get whatever they need in there, the medicine, help the doctors know how to diagnose them. You know, I pray, God, that you help them, Lord, that their healing will spring forth speedily, you know, down these lines. And then I thought about the doctors. Don't forget the doctor. And then I started praying for the doctor because you know what? We don't care if they eat lunch or not. Just give me what I want and what I need and I'll be out of here.
Yep.
So I started praying for the doctors and the nurses and all of them that are in there and involved. My, they're people too. And when I'm like that, now faith can flow.
Yeah.
God is love. Love cares about everybody all the time. Faith works how?
By love.
By love. Don't work by selfishness, me thinking about me and how I feel and how y'all all go before me. And I need to be in here. And Scotty, you back here in the back seat. You got me up here 25 minutes before my appointment time. Then I get back there. Lo and behold, I got to do a COVID test. They gonna test me for strep, they gonna test me for COVID. I said I done had COVID back in December, the second or third week of December. Well, you can have it again. I said, yeah. I said, well, she said, you have to take it. I said, well, my symptoms, I said, they're not COVID. I said, I didn't have COVID. I said, I've had this before, it's just a little sinus thing or whatever. Well, I don't even know if she'll even do anything for you if you don't do the COVID. I said, do what you gotta do. Just whatever. Knock yourself out, just do it. So they swab me for the COVID, swab me for the strep. 15 more minutes waiting on them tests is absolutely nonsense. I know how I feel. Anyway, comes back, no COVID, no strep, sinusitis. I thought I told you that. But anyway, let's just go. You're the doctor. You know more than I do. Then they want me to take another COVID test because that was the rapid test, you know, and it can be wrong. Well, it was the rapid test when I took in December, and they diagnosed me that I had it. Well, I'm going to take another COVID test, go up my nose to my brain again, and send that off and let me know the results today. I said, I don't think I need that. I said, my symptoms are not COVID, I'm telling you. So anyway, make a long story short, then I get over there to Walmart where my prescription has been called in to the doctor, to the pharmacy. I'm first in line over there. I get up there. Well, no, we go home. We go home, and I'm waiting on them to send me a text that my prescriptions are ready. So I'm dozing on and off, you know, and Scotty, he's gone, forced to his land and everything over there doing what he does, whatever that is, and all kinds of stuff. And so I get a text, you know, this one is ready, but then this one, there's a problem you need to call. Okay. I call. Then Scotty comes in. I said, I was just fixing to go up there, so he goes with me. On the way, he calls. I said, I don't know why you're calling. I told you I don't call. Nobody's answering. He calls and lets it rain till we get almost to the Walmart, and nobody answers, so he finally hangs up. That's how he don't listen to me. Anyway, we get up there and first in line. I said, you know, you told me, Kyle, I got a problem with this. Well, we don't have this one right here, you know, but we can replace it with another. I said, that's fine. Just do it. Whatever it is. Just do it. Well, give us 5 minutes. I said, okay, I'll give you 5 minutes. Well, I go hunt Scotty. I can't find him. So I come back and I sit down. I'm waiting. Then you got people trying to get in front of me. So I stand back up. I said, I need to stand up so these people know I'm in line. So I stand up, get back up there. Well, no, I'm standing there. And this lady comes up behind me and just out of the blue. I'm one, if I don't know you, I don't really like you talking to me. And I don't mean that in an ugly way. I don't know what to say to you. You know, I don't know you. Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't mean that rudely. Now, Granny and Scotty, they don't care. We'll talk about your toenails. We'll talk about your hair. We don't care. We'll just talk. That's what they do. I don't do that. So here comes this woman up behind me, starts talking to me. Yep, I'm telling you, I'm fixing to change my prescriptions from Walmart. And here goes Scotty. Oh, yeah, where are you from? Up here they have enough. Are you serious? So she's talking to me, but then he starts talking to her. I'm hurting really bad, and I just wanted to stop. No, I'm from Bloodsville. Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm telling you, I'm about to change my prescriptions from this place. I thought about that on the way to Walmart. Don't get off on my little story here now. What are we talking about?
Temptation.
Overcoming or resisting temptation. Then she said, and they got them little teenagers. The people's right there. They got them little teenagers right there working there that act like they don't even know what they're doing. You don't even know the boy lady.
Yep.
You couldn't get to me when you wasn't answering the phone. You couldn't get to me when you didn't get my prescription for a week. You couldn't get to me a while ago. Now here you are in the flesh, devil. I'm talking about the woman. Wasn't it Peter that said, far be it from you, Lord, that you ever go and suffer in all this when Jesus is telling him this is going to happen to me? So now I got me one here in the flesh behind me.
Yep.
Unbeknown to her, she may even be a Christian. I don't know. Let me know into her. He's done told me this thought on the way up. I tell you right now, I just changed up prescriptions down here to Bluntsport somewhere else. Because there's always a problem with them. They don't work through complaining and griping.
No, sure don't. Sure don't.
And selfishness. Well, I don't say nothing to the lady. I don't know you, lady. Talk to Scotty. So they're just back there yickety-yacking. But everything I had thought on the way up there, she's saying out her mouth, Monty, right into my left ear. Why? Because if he can't get directly to you, he'll send somebody.
That's right.
Husband, wife, kids, co-worker, lady at Walmart.
Yep.
And I'm standing there, and I'm thinking, I just thought the same thing. I'm not going to be critical. I'm not going to complain. I'm resisting the temptation. I can see myself bouncing from the chandeliers of Walmart. I'm tearing this place apart.
Right.
On the inside. And I'm standing there and I'm thinking, you're not going to get me. I'm not going to complain. I'm not changing my prescription. I'm not going to say nothing against them. Lord, help them to do their job right. Because I can see and hear all these people back here. They're griping and they're complaining. Then you say that about you got these kids. Well, praise God, because these adults won't get off their can and go to work so they can get their unemployment checks. Somebody got to do something.
Man.
And you didn't know the first thing about your job when you started neither, probably. Good grief. This is a... Woo! Help us, Lord. He loves us. So then I get up there to the counter. And the little guy, he's maybe 17, 18, maybe a little older than that. I don't know. You know, baby face looking little kid. My prescriptions, they finally get ready. He gets them all bagged up in one bag. Then they have to do something, and you know, they come out your papers. They come out the little thing down here. One of my papers comes out, and he clicks it, and the system locks up.
Oh, no.
He said, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to wait because the system just locked up, and it won't. I said, well, would it be better if I go down here? You know, I can go down here. It don't matter. Go over there and pay for it. You know, if it's easier that way than down here. He said, oh, no. He said, I got to do it down here now. He said, because I didn't put it in. He said, but it's locked up, and I have to wait till it unlocks because it won't let me back in. Now I can really feel my tears. You ain't saying nothing. And I can feel the heat on the back of my neck from the people that's in line from behind me.
Yep.
So I just have to stand there. I don't know how long I stood there. Longer, way longer than I wanted to. But the whole time, the temptation is, look at me and complain. Look at me and complain. We don't care nothing about you. Maybe you didn't even get to go eat lunch. Maybe this is your first day on the job. We don't give a flipping rip. Just get us what we want. And then I want to go out, praise the Lord, hallelujah, I'm in a new car, God, send it on down. What's he say? Send me some faith and I'll send it down. I can't be in faith if I don't walk in love. Y'all ain't saying nothing. So there is method to his madness.
Yep.
So if I'm going to walk in faith and he's not going to separate me from my... Listen, every trial, test, temptation you have is a temptation to doubt, to fear. Just like Eve, when he came to Eve and said, you know, this is a tree to be desired to make one wise. I mean, it tells you all kinds. You need this.
Yeah.
It all boils down to the same thing. So what's he doing here? Go back to the scripture here, and he tells them, I got like 3 minutes. Y'all know the story. He goes, and he prays and all that. And then in the story, verse 43, there an angel, while he's praying, an angel came unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Mm. The Bible says the angels work for us, ministering to us, the heirs of salvation, right? But not when we're not praying and seeking God and all of that. We're trying to get it from the world in our own way. You go on down. And, I just have to tell you. Y'all can go back and read the whole stories. Then you go on down, and they come and they take Jesus. Now, you got to remember these guys. They don't have all the Bible we got today. They don't have all of everything that happened to them that was written for our examples, you know. And they have seen Jesus slip away before. Y'all remember when the story talks about he was in the crowd and they was going to take him and throw him off the cliff?
Yeah.
And what's the Bible say? They couldn't find him. He just kind of like worked his way in between them and got out of there. Well, they seen this, Sandy. They seen how they was looking for him before and couldn't find him and how he would get away and all this other stuff. Why? Because it wasn't time yet. But now they're seeing something different. Now they're seeing they've come and they've got him. And Peter's following from afar. Don't you know fear had to hit him like a freight train? He's my Lord. Why ain't he stopping this? We've seen him get out of harder situations before. Why ain't he doing something? And then here they come and say, oh yeah, Johnny, we know you was with that Pastor Scotty down there too. You one of them Faithway bunch, ain't you?
Right.
And Johnny wouldn't do this. He says, I don't even know Scotty. Who's Scotty Weston? Scotty what? That Earsie down there? I don't know no Earsie. Don't say nothing. Let's put it in today. It happens to us every day. So that's one time. Here comes the devil and he's separating. I thought we had faith in Jesus. Peter's the very one that had the revelation from the Almighty God that said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He didn't get that in the natural. He got a direct revelation from God.
Yep.
So he knows who he is. How can this be happening? We thought you was going to set up your kingdom here on the earth. We followed you all this time. And then here comes somebody else. Oh, yeah, I know you was with him because you got the same kind of accent. You that northerner too. I don't know what you're talking about, lady. And the guy comes up there, he's standing there by the fire, and the guy comes up there. Yeah, I think he was with him too. I don't even know the man, and he leaves. And as soon as he did, he heard the cock crow.
Yep.
And the Bible says instantly he was gripped in his heart.
Yep.
He never, ever intended to do what he done. Sometimes we never, ever intend to do what we done. But the good thing about the Lord is the Lord knew that he would. And he prayed for him. And he said, and when you're converted, in other words, when you get this straightened out and you come back, you take the knowledge that you have and you strengthen your brethren with it. Because I know you love me and you didn't mean to, and we're cool. Right?
Amen.
And after that, Peter is the one that on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost fell, he stood up and he preached by the Spirit of God, and 3,000 people got saved under that man's anointing. Who would have ever thunk it? Not me. See, God takes people like me and you and the Peters of this world, and he turns us around. All we have to do is keep giving him something to work with.
Amen.
You know, you may have messed up and give in to some kind of temptation. It don't matter what it is. It's all rooted in fear and doubt, and it causes unbelief, and then you sin. You disobey God. That's all sin is, disobeying God.
Right.
You knew you shouldn't, but you did. Or you knew you should, and you didn't. Whatever the case. Gosh, I got to stop. It's almost 10 till. Does anybody have anything they'd like to share? Comments on the subject or anything like that before we close?